Turn with me to the book of Jonah. Probably one of the most, I suppose, famous, popular of the 12. We all recognize Jonah. We all know about Jonah, the book anyway. And probably know fair enough about the account of Jonah, what went on in the book, and all those kinds of things. But very rich book, very easy to, the way that God had that laid out in story form, very easy to talk about, many, even more than we'll land on today, many applications from Jonah. We'll land on a few. But a wonderful book, looking forward to it. With a voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We'll read that whole passage in a little while. Remember last time we looked at Obadiah and the message to Edom. There are many things that we can glean from Obadiah. And I would say the message we need to hear is the message that God delivered, that Edom was going to be judged. That is the message of Obadiah, that Edom was going to be judged for what they had done. The tier under that, sort of what does that mean for my life kind of thing on that message is that Edom had thrown their lot in with the people of the world. They had thrown their lot in with the enemies of God's people. And they had went against God's people. And so that's why God was judging them. And in that sense, Edom was just reaping what they sowed. They should not have rejected God's people. They shouldn't certainly have helped God's enemies to harm God's people. They threw themselves in with the world. That's just a great message for us today, right? You throw yourself in with the world, you go the way of the world, what do you get? Destruction. Doesn't work. It's not, you know, God wants singular worship to him, and we can't just do our own thing and expect it to work out, and especially go against God as they did. Good message for Jonah. In fact, it's probably the message Jonah was preaching, right? Yeah. Repent. Repent and turn from, let each one turn from his evil ways, because destruction is coming. Well, let's pray, and we'll ask God to help us understand Jonah and gain certainly some insight on how we can apply the things that we think on and read. God, thank you again for these times to survey one of the 12 prophets, and this time Jonah, and your message to and through him. Thank you for the clarity of it. Very likely we believe that Jonah wrote this, and to be able to write these things about himself is probably humbling. Thank you for working this way, God, and giving this message to us so that we can know what you've done, how you've worked, but also so that we can grow, so that we can be edified and not, in a sense, be a Jonah, most of what we know about him, just not make the same mistakes he did. And so just please guide us in your word. Help us not to get outside the bounds of your message. And Lord, looking forward to thinking on Jonah again this morning. Pray that we would find a blessing in there. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Jonah, they don't really have that. Greek and Hebrew both. He would just say Yonah. We don't really didn't have the J like we do. Jacob, when he was young, I taught the kids some Greek. We would have Greek lessons, part of the homeschool that I did. And Jacob was, it's not quite this, it's a dead language, so you can't really bust anybody's chops about bad pronunciation anyway. But Iakob is close. I would just say Jacob. But that's weird, isn't it? Right? That it, somehow that became a J in English culture. Jonah, and it means dove. Dove, the dove. And you can think of what that stirs up in your mind. You know, peace, meek, small. Probably the most familiar book of the 12. At least it has got the most attention because of the account and what God did in it. We know that Jonah was the son of Amittai. We don't know who Amittai was except Jonah's father. He was from Gath-Hepher. I believe it's in this passage here that talks about him being, He ministered from 800 to 750 BC. We have very Nero. We know when Jonah ministered. And he ministered in a prosperous time, and Jonah was very likely a very popular prophet. That doesn't happen very often, does it? If you know the prophets at all, most of them were not popular. They had a very unpopular message. But when Jonah was ministering, he was speaking for God in a prosperous time, and a lot of good things are happening, so he's very likely a very popular prophet. The king here in 2 Kings 14, 25, restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Arba, according to the word of the Lord. So in other words, they expanded their territory. The God of Israel, which he spoke to his servant, according to the word of the Lord, by the prophet Jonah, son of Amittai from Gath-Hepher. So he was from Gath-Hepher. And so that's the message he got to preach. I am about to restore your territory, right? Now that's a good prophet message right there, right? Your fortunes are going to improve. I'm going to fix this. So he was likely a very popular person, speaking good things in a prosperous time. And part of what we're going to talk about later and think on is that I believe, and this is opinion, that Jonah liked it. He liked having a positive message. He liked being popular. He liked ministering in Israel and in his home area and all the comforts of that. And, you know, if you're just out prophet, you know, think about today. Who do people flock to? The people with the health and wealth message, right? That's an easy message to preach. Well, if you follow God, you're going to be a millionaire. Well, all right. It's an easy message to preach and to hear. Just have to make sure it's true. Like in Jonah's case, it was true. Jonah and the account of the prophet Jonah is a literal account. I would say that goes without saying, but it really doesn't, does it? You have to actually say it. It is a literal account. We need to get that, be confident in that, affirm that truth, that this really happened, it's a real person, all of the events of Jonah really happened. We reject pure naturalism that says God can't do anything outside of what we know or think we know, right? How arrogant are people? That could never happen. Were you there? You know? It did happen. Write it down. It got written down. The book itself, and Jonah was a real prophet. All the things happened to him were real. The book is as much about Jonah the prophet as is about Nineveh. Nineveh is the place Jonah was supposed to minister to. Nineveh is who God's message was to, but the book really is about Jonah. It's about certainly Nineveh, and we learn about Nineveh, but it's about God working in and through Jonah and what God was doing in the life of Jonah and Jonah's sin problems, quite honestly. Jonah, this is a literal account, he was really swallowed by a great fish, and the word here is great fish. But it certainly could be a whale. Saying that a whale is not a fish is pretty modern. Okay, we have our categories and our we say, well, that's a male, it's not a fish. Why? Why is a mammal not a fish? Because somebody made that up. Just hear that, all right? Somebody said a mammal is not a fish and made that up. Okay, so just say, people get angry, well, it was a fish, not a whale. Okay, if you're mad about that, you know, go ahead, knock yourself out. How about a whale shark? That's a fish. See, language is weird, science is weird, we do dumb things, and then we confuse everyone. Don't be confused about that. Doesn't matter. It was some big aquatic animal. It was a fish, a whale, could have been anything like that. Okay, and he was really swallowed by a great fish. So some critics will scoff at this and dismiss the whole book as fiction because it's not a man can't be swallowed by a fish and live. Now, that's actually not true. Beside the fact that, well, yeah, if you completely take the creator, sovereign, all-powerful God out of the equation, then sure, things are different, right? There's actually a newspaper article from back, and I'd have to look at my notes, I think in the 1700s, where a guy in Italy fell into the ocean on a horse. Both he and his horse were swallowed whole by some fish. Okay? He and his horse! Okay? So serious business. Hear this! The dude lived. Okay, now he wasn't in there 3 days, to be fair. But he was swallowed whole and lived. Couldn't happen. Well, actually, it has happened. All right? It has actually happened. Yeah, sure, it could have been a miracle in that case as well. Who knows? And if you've ever been, if you like to fish like I do and you go to the ocean, understanding that some fish that could swallow a person, that's not a stretch. There's some big stuff in that ocean even that we don't know about, all right? And God caused this big fish. It's really, literally happened. And scoffers are going to scoff. That's all it is. Scoffers are going to scoff and ignore evidence. Besides the fact that you have to rip God out of the equation. Well, God couldn't have a fish. Oh, he made everything, but he certainly couldn't have a fish eat a person. No, that's foolish. Of course he could. And he did. So, Jonah was a sign, and hear this too. So his ministry was a sign. Jesus did use Jonah in his ministry as a sign for his own ministry. But hear this as you look at these passages. Jesus told us and taught us that Jonah was literal. Jesus didn't say, you know, well, that stuff that we made up about Jonah, that was kind of a story to point to me. He said, no, it is the prophet Jonah that was a sign. The things that happened to Jonah literally happened. They were a sign of what was going to happen to me. Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Jonah was a sign. What happened to Jonah was a sign pointing forward to Christ. "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. No sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." He left them and departed. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." So now what does that mean? Does that mean that the people of Nineveh knew, word got out that Jonah was spit out of a fish? Maybe, right? Because as Jonah was assigned to the people of Nineveh, so maybe we get a little more of the story. You can't make too much out of that, but maybe, right? He was assigned to them, and what happened to him was assigned to them. Okay, but so, anyway, as Jonah became assigned to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment because with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came at the from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. There are going to be people in the last days that are going to stand before the people of Nineveh who repented, and they thought they were right. They thought they were God's people because they were Jewish, and they rejected Christ, and the people of Nineveh are going to stand up and say, "You fools, how could you reject Christ when you knew, when you saw?" And they just heard Jonah and they were like, "Yeah, we repent." Something greater than Jonah is here. Now, Nineveh is the town that Jonah was sent to. Jesus didn't use the book as an allegory. It was the finishing thought of that. He didn't use the book as an allegory. It literally happened. Nineveh is the city, great city, that Jonah was sent to, and it was an evil city, a very wicked city. It was the capital of Assyria. They were vicious and notorious for their wickedness. God had judged them and was going to destroy them. He was just about ready to completely wipe out all of Nineveh. Jonah's job was to warn them and call them to repentance. And you can see in the very beginning of Jonah, I gotta turn there, they're not even actually on the wall today. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, "Arise and go to Nineveh." And so God sent him to Nineveh, that exceedingly wicked city, right? That great city, and call it against their evil. Jonah was sent to Nineveh, and God was ready to destroy them. His job was to warn them and call them to repentance. And again, just as we unpack Jonah, just let some of these things sink in. There's a lot of parallel to our world right now. Wouldn't it be easy just to be a bitter old Jonah in this world and just say, this world is wicked. Just let them go to hell. I don't care. They know what they're doing. They don't want God anyway. Not true, by the way. You don't know. You don't know who God's going to save. Just like Jonah. Was Jonah right? Yeah, they were wicked. Was he right? No. They repented. Interesting, isn't it? He did what, you know, when he finally did what he was supposed to do, they repented. Jonah's job, warn them, call them to repentance. He wasn't supposed to save them. All he was supposed to do is bring them a message. Jonah, whose name was Dove, was a sinfully angry man. You can't read Jonah and not get that. The dude had a serious anger problem. Very proud, bitter, and angry. And all that goes together, by the way. Angry people very much generally have pride problem. And something to look at if you struggle with outbursts of wrath. He despised the Ninevites. He was filled with hate. He didn't want them to be saved. He hated them. He hated them. He wanted the worst for them. He had a heart of hatred. Now, if you sing this in the next 30 seconds in your heart, I'll know things about you. Huh? Jonah was a prophet, but he never really got it, right? Did he never really get it? Probably not. The book doesn't end too well. He wrote it down, though, didn't he? So I wonder. Maybe he had moments of repentance later because God had him write this down. It had to be very humbling. In the book, though, Jonah never really got it. He was sinfully angry, full of hatred, despised the Ninevites, and he wouldn't love his enemies. He wouldn't love his enemies. He wanted them killed. He wanted them wiped out. And God called him on that, as we'll see. The outline of Jonah then, and we'll... ran out of time. I need to move to Africa where they let you preach for 3 hours. They just don't have clean water sometimes. Duke told me that you should go to Africa, and I said, I'm not married to a go-to-Africa wife. It's very true. My wife was a good townie. I don't know if I'm a go-to-Africa guy either, but Jonah was sent, and then he ran away. You know, the next verse, so Jonah fled, right? But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. God sent Jonah. Jonah flees. It's like he didn't even consider. He's like, nope, not doing that. Mm-mm. Which is crazy for a prophet, isn't it? Isn't that kind of crazy for a prophet? God Almighty speaks to you and you say, no, not doing that. But let's not throw too many arrogant stones at old Jonah, right? God asks us to do hard things that we don't do all the time, huh? All right, isn't that true? God's word asks us to do hard things that we don't do. It's true, okay? No heads are nodding. It's just me, I guess. Jonah flees to Tarshish. He goes the opposite way. You want me to go there? Fine, I'm going the other way. And it's some bizarre, horrible theology of Jonah that somehow he thinks, well, God ain't in Tarshish. All right? That's horrible theology for a prophet, isn't it? I can go there and there's God ain't there. What? Who do you know, Jonah? So God sends the storm, and you're familiar with that part of the account, where a great storm comes on the boat, and it's breaking up, and the sailors are sitting there, and they're offering sacrifices to their pagan gods, and they're praying, and Jonah's down there asleep. And they say, what do you mean by this sleeper? Right? I think that's an older translation. What do you mean by this sleeper? Wake up, call out to your God. You know, help us out here. We need all hands on deck for this because we're about to die. And the sailors, Jonah tells them, well, this happened because of me. So at least he corrected his theology a little bit, right? God didn't let him get to Tarshish. He's probably thinking, dang it, if I just made it to Tarshish. Right? How foolish. And they didn't want to throw him overboard, did they? And they prayed, don't count this innocent blood on us. God, they threw him overboard. It was part of God's plan. And you remember that. You can read if you're skimming as I survey, that the sea went still when they threw him overboard. Just still. God, right? God brought the storm. God stopped the storm. God brought it. He stopped it, didn't he? Right? You ever heard anybody say that God won't give you more than you can handle? I think God gave Jonah and them sailors a lot more than they could handle right there, didn't he? Huh? He did, didn't he? God brought the storm. If God brings the storm, who can stop it? Only God, right? You got to turn to him. You got to turn and obey. Repent and obey. That's what Jonah did. He said, okay, throw me overboard. I know this is because of me. Now, I think he was foolish in that, but he knew it was his fault, so God honored that. Then God sent this great fish to swallow Jonah. Literally happened, and the fish swallowed him. Now, the next part I want to read, if you have your copy of the scriptures open, Jonah's prayer. This is a wonderful prayer. And talk in verse 10, we'll probably read that too, but... Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, you heard my voice. So to him he had died. It's over. I mean, come on. You get swallowed by a fish, right? What are you going to do? Huh? You're done. And he knew that, right? I'm dead. Okay? But praise God, right? He at least had enough faith to say, well, I got no hope, but let's pray, right? And think about it. What if he had died? Wouldn't you like to die praying? Huh? That's pretty good, right? You know, at least it was the right thing to do. He had faith. He prayed. And so he prayed. Out of the belly of the... For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All of your waves and your billows passed over me. And I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I think this is literally what happened. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. He was sinking in weeds around him. He's falling in. You brought my life up from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope and steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, don't you wish Jonah had just stopped right there, and the next verse was just like, Jonah went to Nineveh and it worked, right? Because we would feel so good about Jonah at that point, wouldn't we? Because that is an awesome prayer. It is a faith-filled prayer. It is a turning to the Lord in repentance type of prayer. And then God has the whale go up to where Jonah is supposed to be, to Nineveh, and spits him out on dry land. Like I said, maybe people witnessed it. I think so. I think it was a public event. What in the world just happened, right? A big fish comes up and spits him out on land. Here comes this dude all fishy smelling, weeds all over him, right? And who knows if he, you know, what his clothes look like? I don't know. But he spit out on dry land. He goes into the town, the great city of Nineveh, huge city, preaches, warning them, and they repented. They actually turned. It's a good reminder to us because we don't know what God is doing. We don't. And it can seem hopeless and worthless and a waste of time to preach to hard-hearted people. But let's think about it today. Do you think that Americans are really more hard-hearted than the exceedingly wicked Ninevites? Probably the same, right? Probably the same amount. What would we have to do to not share the gospel with hard-hearted people? We would have to remove God from the equation. Just like we accuse all of those unbelievers, wouldn't we? That whale couldn't have happened because we removed God from the equation. Those people will never change. Christians have to remove God from the equation. Ouch, right? Ouch. We got to do our job. That's what Jonah did. He took God out of the equation. They're not going to repent. I hate them. I want them to die anyway. God's compassion on Jonah, and God's compassion in Jonah's anger. And that's the, he never really got it in chapter 4. He gets super sinfully angry. And it's bizarre. It's just like some of the stuff that happened in the Gospels, where like Jesus heals somebody and they get angry and want to kill him. And this is Jonah. You would think, I mean, if you, to me, and I imagine Jonah knows that. He sure knows it now for sure, but I imagine before he died he figured it out. This was the pinnacle of Jonah's career. There is nobody that can compare to say, this prophet went to a whole city, the entire city, a wicked, God-hating city, all repented. Right? I mean, you would be like, I am the greatest prophet in the history of prophets. Wouldn't you? This is the greatest thing. This is a good day. And Jonah's like, I knew this would happen. What? Jonah, what are you talking about? You were successful. No, I knew this would happen. I knew God would be merciful. Just kill me instead. Jonah, he never really got it. He never really got it. Jonah was a prophet of God. He liked being a prophet. He was happy to bring God's word to people as long as it was on his own terms. Jonah didn't like his assignment. He didn't want to be a prophet to the Gentiles. He didn't want to bring God's message to Jonah's enemies, or to God's enemies even. The Pharisees shared this attitude. They're very similar to Jonah. They didn't want God to bring his message of reconciliation to the Gentiles. Thank God that some people actually listened to God and brought the word to the Gentiles. Amen. Thank God for Paul. He was willing to be stretched and let God bring him to the Gentiles, because we would be sunk if someone hadn't done that. When the word of God came to Jonah, he fled. He had bad theology, as if he could flee. He was acting like a spoiled child. God's mercy is all through this book, because God sent the storm and it didn't destroy them. He sent it to turn the foolish prophet. God delivered Jonah from the sea with the fish. God took Jonah to Nineveh when he wouldn't go himself. God picked him up and took him there and dropped him off. He's a lot like a spoiled child, isn't he? Right? God sent Jonah again. You see that pick up when Jonah gets delivered to the shores of Nineveh. God sent him again, and this time Jonah did it. He gave him a second chance to obey. God provided a way for the Ninevites to be saved. He provided a way for Jonah to be saved. God's mercy is all through the book of Jonah. That's really the key theme, isn't it? Just the mercy of God. The Ninevites repented. God relented. Oops, I didn't get these. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Oh, yike. What do we do with that, Christian? Huh? The sovereign God relented. You know, God is a mystery, isn't he? He works that way sometimes. He works through our prayers. God's going to do what he wants to. We pray, he works through our prayers. God was going to do whatever he was going to do in Nineveh, wasn't he? He worked through the prophet. He worked through the repentance of the Ninevites. The Ninevites actually had to repent, right? God relented. He didn't do what he said he was going to do. Now, maybe you could see it as just it was a big story for us to learn. God was going to destroy them, but he knew he wasn't going to. But I don't get that sense from the reading of the text. It says, God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil. He knew they would, but he relented. See, he gives us choices to make every day, and he uses those choices. We're not robots. He gives us choices to make, and it's our responsibility to obey. The Ninevites, think about how twisted the story is. The Ninevites were more righteous than Jonah. Jonah heard the word from God himself and ran the other way. The Ninevites, Jesus used them as an example, heard the message from the prophet and repented. Right? Pretty amazing. God relented. What grace. What grace God gave to relent. Even Jonah's temper tantrum in chapter 4, God gave Jonah grace. Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? You know, God, so many times in scriptures you would think that the thumb of God would just come down. Nope, Jonah. 2 chapters, 3 chapters, that's enough. You're done. Nope. God just asked him a question. Is it right for you to be angry?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it's right for me to be angry. To death.
But you just lost your shade. It's not that big of a deal, you know, right? Yeah, he was angry about the Ninevites being spared. That's twisted. God's grace in the middle of Jonah's tantrum. The lessons we learn then. God provides salvation. God is merciful and provides a way to be saved. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah knew that, and he was still mad about it. Isn't that something? So he was saying, salvation for me belongs to the Lord, but not for those Ninevites. Salvation for me belongs to the Lord. And that wonderful prayer of his, he ends it that way. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness. He's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Do you share God's passion in that? Do you share God's passion that all people would come to repentance and be saved? God is patient. If God's being patient, we need to be patient as Christians, amen? We need to be sharing the message, letting God work. God doesn't want people to perish. I don't want them to either. Meditate on the reality of hell sometime. That'll help your evangelism. Meditate on it. It's horrible to think about. Submit to God and be saved. Jonah teaches us that. Repent of your sinfulness like the Ninevites did and be saved, because God is a saving God. He provides salvation. Salvation actually belongs to the Lord. It's his to give out. So turn to him. Worldly men are so afraid of the danger that they save the ship by calling upon God and by watchfulness, while we in our calm waters become negligent and are sunk, like Jonah, right? The pagans, they saw that it was God and they turned after God did what he did with Jonah and the ship. And Jonah just still doesn't want to do God's will. Don't run from God's will. The book is as much about Jonah as Nineveh. You can't run from the will of God. God wants us to share his message of salvation. Be careful of bitterness, hatred, and anger. It can seep in, especially now, right? We are bombarded in this current digital age with reasons to hate each other. Reasons to just hate everywhere. And just all kinds of evil. Don't let that turn you off of the kilter of your gospel focus, right? Love people. Let them hate you, but love them back, right? Love them. Share the message of salvation. Let God work out that hatred. Jonah had become very hard-hearted because of his hatred, and he had received so much mercy from God, and he just hardened himself. He had that sort of, we see it in Christianity or in each other or in ourselves, that I love the grace I get, but I hate that person or that group or whatever. And it's just this, it's a terrible disconnect, isn't it? You can't receive love and then not want others to have that love. And I know it's easy, isn't it? And if you think about it, is that what God is doing in the world right now? Wanting us to divide and hate each other? No, right? He wants us to share the message of Christ with people, you see? And so who's the hate coming from? It ain't God, okay? Who's stirring, causing chaos and division and murder and lies? It's not God, right? That's the devil. So be careful. Don't get caught in Jonah's error, running from God's will, wanting them all to be killed and die in their sin instead of just wanting God to save them. You know, I would like to go back and see Jonah, and God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And he'd be like, Nineveh, dang, I don't want to go there. I'm going to, go ahead, I got a message for you. All right, I'll do it, right? Wouldn't you like to see it? I'll do it, you bet, God. And God sends him, and God saves him, and Jonah's like, yes, right? Awesome, this is, I've never heard of this before, you see? That's the kind of attitude that we need to have. Be careful of bitterness. Be honest about pride. Jonah was full of pride. He was God's prophet. He was of God's people. These nasty Ninevites, they were just, who cares about them? Let them go to hell. God wants us to love as others, to love others as he loves them, as he loves us. Sin affects more than just you, another message from Jonah. Think about that. Here you are one day, back in this time, and you're out, and you're just a poor fisherman, so you ain't got much, and you're out trying to make a living that day. Out of nowhere, huge storm comes up, right? All right? Now you're about fixing to die, and you can't fish, and you don't know what's going to happen. Then not too long after that, all of a sudden it's calm, right? What in the world just happened? Think about that. How many coastal towns were stormed? How many people lost crops? How many boats were sunk because of Jonah's foolishness? Your sin doesn't just affect you. You can't just have your sin and think it doesn't affect everyone around you. Think about this. What if Jonah had been successful and he ran off to Tarshish and God said, okay, fine, and all of Nineveh perished? Your sin doesn't affect just you. You got to get that. Sin has these lasting consequences. It affects everyone in your life, people that you don't even know. Serious. Sin is serious. God is a miracle worker. God does incredible things. Couldn't God have just said, fine, Jonah, you've repented. I'm just going to pick you up and set you in Nineveh. You're going to wake up in Nineveh. You're going to appear in Nineveh. Could have. God wanted us to see a big fish swallow Jonah, right? He wanted us to see, that doesn't happen. That's not normal, right? He wanted us to see him in utter control of all the elements. Be still. Storm, you're here now. Be still. You're done. Jonah, ride the fish inside of it, by the way. He's going to spit you out over here. God wanted us to see that. He's a miracle worker. How about the repentance of the most wicked city of their time, maybe of all time? God's a miracle worker. Don't ever forget that. He's on the throne. He's doing great things. And rejoice in those, right? Rejoice in those. Look at what God can do. And don't lose hope in this world. Let's pray. God, thank you for the book of Jonah and the account and life of Jonah. I believe that he actually penned it. And chapter 4 is had to be humbling to pen all of that temper tantrum he had. But thank you for it. We learned so much from that account. And I pray that you'd stir us up for good works and help us to see where we come short, God. We don't want to be like Jonah in his sinfulness. And we can be. It's so easy. He was just being a person. You know, he was just like us. And please spare us from those terrible attitudes. I feel like we live in Nineveh much of the time. And God, I pray that we would do a better job of delivering your message to these people that you want to save. In Jesus' name, amen.